live in quite a sobering world, which often can seem awash of fear, of terror for many people. A world where innocent people are blown up, motivated by people who are fanatics. We also live in a world that is awash of drugs and alcoholism. Our society is filled with sensuality, materialism, violence. And I'm not saying these things to make us feel depressed tonight. But it is real, isn't it? You know, we may well be cocooned from an awful lot of things that go on in our society, but you just take a trip to A&E on a Saturday night. Just turn the TV on sometimes and it's filled with that horrific things that happen around the world. There are good news bits. I know there are. Heard of one tonight from Maryland. People from Hinduism being saved. Lives being transformed by the gospel. We still are part of the biggest growing organism, you know, the church. Sometimes it doesn't always feel like it here, but it is. God's church is growing. But in the midst of that, there is incredible darkness. What future do we have? What can we say? What message do we bring this Christmas time? Well, the answer is found really in our text tonight, because we do have a message of glorious hope. A good news message in the midst of great sobering realities, a message of gratitude, a message of wonder, and a message of love. In the midst of what is a self-hating, self-destroying world, it is a message of the glorious gospel of our blessed God, housed and compacted into this one glorious person, the Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, who is with us. And so I want us just for a few minutes tonight to meditate on that, on our duty to simply thank God for his unspeakable gift. And so use the words of that text for us tonight at the end of our reading in 2 Corinthians 9 and 15, just to spend some time meditating on that truth. The thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Because this is the true gift, and I want us just to look at that in three thoughts tonight. Before we do that, can I just say that we should never ever take a text in isolation of the verse or of the chapter or in the book in which it's in. It's really, really dangerous to do that. Let me say that. There's a massive difference between eisegesis and exegesis, which we're not going to get into tonight, but basically eisegesis is having an idea, a thought, and then finding a scripture to justify our thought and drawing it out from that. Whereas exegesis, which is what we do here the majority of the time, is looking at the word of God and drawing out from it what God has said. In this particular chapter, Paul is encouraging God's people in their grace giving so that not only others might be blessed, but they might receive a blessing as a result of their giving. He reminds these Corinthians that all that they have, and let me tell you, the Corinthians had a lot. They were a well-blessed people by God. That all that they had was only simply because of God's grace to them. It was only because of that indescribable gift that they themselves had received. And it's that indescribable gift that I want us, our hearts, to focus on tonight. And I wanted to consider it together in three specific ways. The first, all three are there for us. Try that one. To know that it's a divine gift, that it is an indescribable gift, or as the authorized version says, an unspeakable gift. But it's also a received gift. It's a divine gift, first of all. It's a true gift of God. It's holy and it's a divine gift. Just think about that for a moment. Let it sink into your soul a moment. The fact that Jesus Christ is God's gift to sinners. That's the theme of the gospel. The unexpected gift, the glorious gift, this all-sufficient gift, this gift that made Paul just suddenly burst into song at the end of this and just said, gee, just thanks be to God for what we have. That Christ loved me and gave himself for me, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. This is the season of the year, especially when people think about gifts and people go out and they get gifts, sometimes gifts that they feel harassed to buy. Sometimes some people also get bought silly hats at this time of year. Sometimes we do get gifts that we just would rather not have. Maybe we give out of a sense of duty. But this is no fake gift. Jesus Christ is a genuine gift of God. A gift which is given with no strings attached. There's no fine print attached to this. There's no T's and C's, you know, terms and conditions apply to this in any way. This gift isn't like those envelopes. Have you ever had those envelopes come through your door and they promise so much? And it opens up, you've won. And you open it up and then suddenly you discover that you've got to jump through so many different hoops. You've got to enter into a prize draw. You've got to subscribe to this particular book and you've got to do this in order to receive your gift. And when it eventually comes, it's a pen. The Son of God isn't like that. There's no strings attached. There's no hoops to jump through. He's offered freely to people like you and like me who would have no natural claim to him at all. He's given without anything being received in return. It's unconditional. And the point that Paul is making here, exactly that. Thanks be to God for this unspeakable gift, this gift that is a true gift. This is gift which is a genuine gift. It's an eternal gift. It's a gift that will never, ever be taken back. I had two nods then. Three. Any more takers? A gift that will never, ever be taken back. Four. The giver just gave this gift, and there's nothing that we have to give back. It's a gift of immeasurable value. A gift that is utterly in all its fullness in the Word of God, a gift that is offered freely. God never offered his gift so that one day he'd receive something back in return. It's not a loan. God's hands are stretched out and he says, "Here is my Son. I give it to you, sinner." It's a divine gift. I wonder whether we can just utter those words tonight. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. How grateful are we of that gift? Secondly, it is an unspeakable gift or an indescribable gift. And this is this for many reasons. The original word used is an interesting word. It's anekdigetos, which means it cannot be expounded on fully. In other words, it can't really be fully understood. In other words, what it's saying, and that's why the Authorized Version uses the word unspeakable. It's not that we can't speak about it. It's the fact that there's just no word. There's not enough language to describe what this gift is like. It is indescribable. At very best, you see, this gift is so great that the very best it can do in this life is like putting your toes into an ocean edge. And yet there's an entire ocean out there, and yet we're just dipping our little tippy toes into the stream at the entrance of the ocean. There is so much more to know. There is so much more to swim in. There is so much more to discover together. Yet we are called to stammer those simple words. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. This gift is indescribable because, simply because of what that love has done. John 3:16, you know it so well. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It doesn't say how excited it is that God loved the world. It doesn't say that God loved the world fervently or greatly or immeasurably or unspeakably. All it says is God loved, and so He gave. It's the greatest verse in the Bible because it describes what God gives. He gave His only begotten Son. And that's the amazing thing. It's amazing, it's undescribable because of that love, what has done, what God has done through that love. You know, I heard a story recently. It was a story about a mother who was desperately poorly, but she was also pregnant with her first child. And she needed treatment for cancer, but she was told that if she had the treatment, it would affect her unborn child. So do you know what she did? She forgo the treatment. And child was born, and sadly the mother died. That's the sort of love that we're speaking about, but it's not even that. Because the love that God expressed to us through His Son in that gift was, could you imagine it? It's a love where that unborn child turned round to the mother and said, I don't care what you do, I'm still going to hate you anyway. And yet God still loved. Can you see how much it goes beyond any form of human love? This love is indescribable. Secondly, this love is indescribable because of God the Father's love for His own Son. The Father loved the Son like no one else. His love for His Son was immeasurable. This love was in the bosom of God. God loves God in an intertritanian personality. A love that is beyond human language. And this God who loves His Son in His bosom with the delight from eternity past, He gave His Son for rebellious sinners who would spit at Him and would crucify Him. That demonstrates how much God loves us, does it not? If this God who is able to love even His enemies and bless them with countless benefits every day, what must His love be like for His only begotten Son? And yet He subjects that Son to the cross, to the nails, to the whips, to the nakedness, to the shame, to the mocking, to the darkness, to the anathema of the grave. But the Son willingly endured it out of love for you and for me. All that we might be spared from the flames of hell. And as a result, have eternal communion with God. God's love is indescribable because of the gift He gives the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. God did not spare His own Son. He gave Him. If God had given 10,000 angels to us, we would have been happy, wouldn't we? But He didn't give 10,000 angels. He gave His own Son. In giving us Christ, He gave us Himself and all that He possesses. He gave us something more than words, more than the worlds of this universe in comparison to the creator of the rolling spheres, the Lord of the angels himself. All these things were mere creatures, but he is the creator, and he gave us himself. Fourthly, the gift is so unspeakable, indescribable, because of what God did to give it. How low he stooped to come to give us this gift. Do you realize the amount of time I have to queue in shops to buy presents for people? How much time I have to spend on Amazon clicking? Do you know what he did for us? From the throne of the universe down, 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 down to become a little baby in the womb of a woman, born of a virgin, wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger. The eternal is dandled on the woman's knee. The mother of our Lord Jesus Christ looks after the Ancient of Days. She nurses him, she ministers to him. The maker of all things is helping the one he calls Father to make tables in a carpenter's shop. Do you get it? The one in whom he hid all treasures of wisdom and knowledge is sitting amongst doctors in the temple, listening to them. The one who owns the universe himself has nowhere to lay his head. The creator of the clouds and the rain and the seas asks a woman for a cup of water. How do you understand it? It's unspeakable. His message of grace, his message of love, his message of substitutory sacrifice. And finally, it's unspeakable too because of what it saves us from. It saves us from our atrocious sin. It saves us from the judgment of God which you and I deserve. Fallen angels, as we were sharing this morning, are bound in the blackness of darkness, Jude tells us, bound in eternal change, expecting an eternity of wretchedness, and we sinners are saved and redeemed through God's own blood. Can you see why it's unspeakable? Can you see why it's indescribable? Can you see why our failing words just falter? I wonder whether we use his gift, though. I wonder whether we are quick to use it. I wonder whether we're quick to thank him for it. I've got oh so many, many gifts that I've been given at Christmas that never ever saw the light of day. Of you? On the kids' sheet tonight, you'll notice, kids, can you think of some of those toys that you got Christmases ago that are now broken or they need batteries and Dad still hasn't got you the batteries? And so there they are in the bottom of the cupboard. What is the point of a gift if it's not used? We have been given the greatest gift ever. How much do we use it? How much do we rely on it? God gives us an unspeakable and indescribable gift. And that gift is to be used. He wants us to pray to his Son, to think about his Son, to praise his Son, to find our life only in his Son. He wants us to enjoy him. Do you know, there was one of the biggest problems at the moment in mental health illnesses. People have this such a low self of worth. You notice that? Our identity is not found on how we look. Our identity is not found on how many likes we get on our Facebook page. Let me assure you, our identity is found in Christ and in Christ alone. God takes delight when we enjoy his gift. Isn't that true? Whenever you give something to someone, you hope that they'll use it. God hopes and God desires that we would use his gift. Can you stumble over those words again? Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And finally, it must be a received gift. It must be received. So the question is, I have for you as we close tonight is very, very simple. Have you, by God's grace, received the gift of his Son? And having received it, are you thankful for it? Are you enjoying his gift? Are you reveling in it? You may receive it by the grace of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's completely free. Nothing is freer in this world than the gift that God is prepared to give. But I need to tell you something as we close. You can't receive it with hands that are full of everything else. You know, young Sky today walked through and she'd been given that many things. She had a cup of tea. She had two biscuits. I noticed two. I'm not saying any of them. She had two biscuits. And she had her Sunday school material under her arm. And she actually had the gift that she'd been given. And she dropped her pencils and her hands were just too full to receive the last gift that she had. And so she had to put everything down or she had someone to pick it up and say, I'll hold on to it for later. But the point is she couldn't take any more because she had enough. Do you know, if our hands are full of this world, if our hands are full with things which distract us from the work of God, then we can't receive the things he has for us. We need to relinquish those things so that we can fully embrace, take hold of that which God has got for us. I pray that Christ will not be lost beneath all the Christmas presents in our homes this Christmas time. I certainly hope and pray that he would not be lost in our hearts. You know, there are so many poor children that are looking so forward to Christmas because of the riches of the gifts that they'll receive. But they're poor not because they won't receive presents, but they're poor because they won't receive the spiritual gift, the greatest gift they could ever have. No room for Jesus. Let me finish by saying this poem tonight. No room in the inn for Jesus when he came on that starlit night. No room for the great creator. No room for the giver of light. No room in this world for Jesus. No room in our hearts today. No room for the King of glory. Oh, how can we turn him away? No room, dear Lord, please forgive us for keeping thy Son outside. No room to open the portals and all the doors fling wide. Make room, O thou gentle Redeemer, make room, O giver of light. Make room in the world for Jesus. Make room in your heart tonight. Can we at least make room in our hearts to say, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Praise his holy name.